Hello, I'm Andrew Main, and welcome to the Stories Podcast. Are you on my mailing list? If you are, then you should have received a link for a free copy of my latest ebook, Hollywood Pharaohs, which has been described as The Big Lebowski Meets Indiana Jones. If you're not, head on over to andrewmainbooks.com and sign up. I'll be sending that link to the free ebook one more time before it goes on sale. Get it now while it's free. This week, Justin Robert Young is here to read my story, Payload.
Captain Bauer looked over the red X's on the chart and shook his head. The only sound in the room was the salty breeze through the wooden slats and the distant bell of a buoy bouncing in the moonlit bay. He picked up his coffee mug to take a sip, but stopped when the ice-cold liquid splashed on his lower lip. 3 boats in 2 weeks, he muttered. His lieutenant quietly nodded. 4 hours ago, they'd found the third capsized vessel, a 30-foot speedboat. It drifted ashore after spending a night adrift. Its passenger, nowhere to be found. Lieutenant Moore had watched Captain Bauer pace around the beached vessel until the sun dipped below the horizon, the rising tide soaking his slacks as he tried to figure out the words to tell the family of the missing. Every effort was being made, but like the last two, he feared to no avail. Bauer stared into the map in a vain effort to make it give up the secret of the derelict crafts. 1 boat could have been simple negligence. 2, and you begin to suspect piracy gone awry. 3, and you have a mystery. No signs of struggle, no blood, 12 people missing, and who knows how many unreported. Lieutenant Moore scratched his chin and tried to see if the X's made any kind of pattern. He looked at the captain and raised an eyebrow. Weather's fine. No suspicious craft. It doesn't add up, said Bauer. His sun-withered hands rotated the map for more to see, as if orientating it would reveal some insight. Moore leaned in to make another futile attempt at making sense of the tragedy. Everyone wanted answers, the local police, the media, and most of all the families. It was up to the 2 men in the chart house to figure out what was happening, and they were bone dry of explanations. The lieutenant knew Bauer was dreading the phone call he was going to have to make to the wives of the missing men. It was bad enough to have to tell them their husbands probably wouldn't be coming home. It was worse to have no explanation. It was as if the sea had swallowed them up, yet leaving no trace or clue. They'd vanished in open waters. Moore was the first to notice the long shadow over the map. Words were frozen in his throat as he looked up at the doorway and saw the figure standing there, gaunt like a corpse. Brillo brush gray beard. The old man had skin like carved wood. Wearing a jacket patched with bits of fishing line and sailcloth, he looked like something washed ashore from the deep. The sight of the man sent a shiver down Moore's spine. Bauer followed Moore's gaze. He remained silent, trying to wrestle with the points on the map and the sudden appearance of the man. Recognition sparked in the back of his mind like a match in the storm. Krilcheck was the man's name. Bauer had seen him living around the harbor. Secretive, he wasn't sure how the man made a living. His charters seemed too few and far between to be making much of a go of it. Like some of the other captains, living barely above the poverty level, he could most often be found on his boat at nights and put every cent into keeping the craft seaworthy. Whatever was left over was spent on beer and cheap whiskey. Krilcheck's voice broke through the silence like a dry rope snapping. I reckon I know what your problem is. Bauer took a moment to realize Krilcheck was talking about the problem on the map he'd been trying to solve for the past hour. He lifted his hands from the table and folded his arms. "And what would that be?"
"I can't tell you, so much as show you."
Krilchek glanced at Moore, then stared back into Bauer's eyes. The intensity made him uneasy.
"We're not in the mood for games," said Moore.
Krilchek's eyes flashed toward him, then back to Bauer, dismissing the younger man like a great white wood of minnow.
"What do you mean?" asked Bauer. "My boat. Half an hour. I'll head out, with or without you."
Moore turned to Bauer to ask if he wanted him to escort the crank off the base. But Krilchek was gone before he could begin the sentence.
"What the hell was that about?"
Moore shook his head. Bauer rapped his fingers on the table and looked at the empty door frame, then down at the red X's. He stopped himself from picking up the stale mug of coffee. After a moment's silence, he headed to the door.
"Be sure to pack your gun. I've got to call the family and tell them no one's coming home."
Krilchek looked up at the two men as they stood at the top of the dock. Moore flashed his light into the boat and lingered over the covered cargo in the back of the deck. Tied down with a thick elastic, he knew something wasn't right. Bauer ignored it and hopped aboard, as if he were in a trance. Since the old man had appeared at the door, the captain acted almost robotically, like an actor sleepwalking through a play. To Moore, it was as if the captain had simply turned himself over to fate and had drowned any sense of free will. The last phone call sucked the life from him. His nylon jack hung slack on his body, like the sack on a scarecrow. Krilchek's eyes followed Moore as he stepped onto the dock.
"My way. What happens out there stays out there."
The words were a command. Moore wanted to assert his authority, but simply nodded when he saw Bauer was going along without a protest. He helped untie the boat after getting a growl from Krilchek, then kept to the back of the deck with his hand near his gun. Krilchek piloted the vessel out of the port, mostly ignoring them both, until Moore leaned on the covered cargo. A silent rebuke from the man was all it took to make him squelch his curiosity and step aside. Captain Bauer kept his gaze on the dark horizon, waiting for the next page to unfold. Both men could tell what direction Krilchek was heading, straight to the center of the X's, the last place the passengers were seen alive. Moore kept an uneasy vigil, watching the sea and Krilchek. Every move from the old man brought about a pulse of anticipation in his body. There was something dark about him. The DEA had sniffed around him once or twice. There were stories of missing acquaintances. Nothing came of it, but he's the last person you'd want to find yourself adrift with at sea, thought Moore. It was another hour before Krilchek spoke again. The words flowed as if he was continuing a conversation.
"It's the currents. You got your jet streams and your Gulf streams, but there are others. Ones them oceanographers don't know about. Rivers and rivers. Tarpon might like to take that one that pushes them past St. Lucie, then out to Bimini. Your bluefin might take another. For some, it's spawning grounds. For others, it's just the way they were born. A great white might take 20 years to work its way around the world. And they do. Some take longer. Some things, like the run deep, take the damn time. That's all they got. Time. You've been out here long enough, you notice things. You pull on your rod like you never felt before. The curve of a fin you see once in a decade. Then you see it again 20 years later, and you realize, like clockwork, it's the same damn thing that passed you by 10 years before. Trick of it is you have to be in the same spot at the same damn time. Most folk move on. Not me. I see things. Then I see them again.
Krilchek paused to see if the two men were listening. His fierce eyes scanned their faces. Moore had moved closer to hear the man's voice over the sound of the throbbing engine and the crashing waves. He could smell the salt and fish blood on Krilchek's jacket.
You know what I mean?
Krilchek directed the comment to Bauer. The captain nodded. Krilchek eyed some invisible point on the horizon.
Back then, 23 years ago, me and Jacob Sutter used to do the Havana run. That's when I saw it.
He pulled the accelerator back and killed the engine.
Right about here.
His finger pointed to the water in the back of the boat. Lieutenant Moore stared into the dark, expecting to see the mysterious thing the man was alluding to. All he saw was waves lapping at the reflection of the moon.
Two orbs looked like globes of piss, floated right out there. And then the smell, like rotten piss. That's when I heard the slapping sound.
Krilchek slammed the palm of his hand against the side of the boat.
Wet, heavy, like a mackerel hitting the deck. I saw it before Jacob, snaked around his ankle. Maybe it was just curious. Maybe it was hungry. Jacob screamed like hell as it tried to pull him over. I fought with it, tried to pull him in. I'm not saying I put up the best fight, but, son of a bitch, I tried. Truth be told, I was saving my energy for my own life. Slipped from my fingers, and then he was gone.
Krilchek shook his head.
Nothing I could have done about that.
He spit into the sea, then walked over to the cargo and began undoing the straps.
Engine was shot. I was going to be stranded until Finch came looking for us. I did what I had to survive. And I reckon that's the reason why it came back.
He paused.
It ain't coming back for the folks. I found Jacob's bloated body the next day. He'd been pecked at a bit, but not really ate at. I used the anchor to weigh him down, so there wouldn't be any questions.
Bauer broke through the spell of the man's story to speak. We haven't found any bodies. Krilchek shrugged.
I suppose you won't. You don't mean to eat them. I mean it eats them, I suppose, but not because he wants to. He's eaten them because he wants this. I gave him a taste, and now he's back for more.
He pulled away the canvas covering of the cargo and let Moore and Bauer see the payload. Hundreds of plastic bags filled with white powder, neatly stacked in piles. Moore's jaw dropped as he did the mental calculation. He looked at Captain Bauer. The man had no reaction. To him, this was simply another page in the book of fate. Krilchek pulled a bag free and ripped open the top, tasted the powder, then tossed it overboard.
The Finch thought I'd tried to rip him off, but eventually he came to trust me. I waited my time.
He pulled several more bags free and tossed them into the sea.
Then I started stealing from him, little at a time, here and there. You're going to help or not?
Captain Bauer stepped over to the edge of the boat and started heaving bags into the ocean. The water in the back of the boat began to take on a milky white sheen. Moore shook his head and watched as the men dumped millions of dollars of contraband in the ocean. Frustrated with the captain, he reached down and grabbed his wrist.
Stop!
Bauer pulled his hand away, picked up another bag to toss it in the water. Moore turned the krill check, hoping for some sign of sanity.
Why did you save it all? There's no way you'll be able to unload it all at once.
Krilchek tossed a bag in the water and stared up at him.
Because I knew it would be coming back. And if it don't get its fix, It's gonna keep sucking people under till it finds what it's looking for.
This is madness! Shouted Moore. His fury turned to an icy chill when he heard the wet slap of something heavy on the deck behind him. In a heartbeat, he threw himself to the deck and desperately began helping the other men unload the cargo into the ocean.
A giant squid addicted to cocaine. Sometimes I don't know where these ideas come from. All I can do is share them with you. You're welcome. After I wrote this, I got kind of curious. Two words, in my opinion, that should never appear together are squid and cocaine. Well, I did a Google search and I wasn't disappointed. No, actually, I was disappointed. Disappointed to find out that drug dealers have actually tried to smuggle cocaine inside the body cavities of giant squid. On one occasion, authorities intercepted several tons of squid and cocaine worth millions of dollars. Now, I couldn't find any example of where they've used live squids to just swim through borders, but who knows? These drug dealers are kind of ruthless and enterprising. I got thinking another question. Has anybody ever actually given cocaine to a squid? Is that even possible? Well, I did a search for cephalopod, a scientific name for a squid, and cocaine. It turns out, this has happened. Thanks to science. In a research paper called Investigations Cephalopod Chromatophores, chromatophores are those cells on the skin of a squid that allow it to change color and camouflage, a scientist wanted to find out what he could do to try to change them. What kind of response could he get? And he tried a bunch of different chemicals. He did things like raising the salinity. He used an isotonic sugar solution, acetylcholine, choline, pilocarpine, and some other words I can't even pronounce. He tried epinephrine. And there, buried in the middle of this study, is this sentence. Histamine brings expansion, which is impeded by cocaine in large doses. Large doses of cocaine. Somewhere in a laboratory, there's a tank with a squid, and a scientist has been feeding the squid large doses of cocaine to see what kind of response they get. I don't know what to think about that. I guess there's some sort of scientific application to this, which is beyond my ability to understand, but we have the answer to our question. Well, of course, the question I want to know now is, did this squid get addicted? Did he have to go to a 12-step group? Did he start acting manic? Was he borrowing money from his friends? What happened next? The research study doesn't tell us. Thank you for joining us on the Andrew Main Stories podcast. Remember, go over to my website, andrewmainbooks.com, and you can sign up for my mailing list. And be like all the lucky folks today who got a free copy of my new ebook coming out next week, Hollywood Pharaohs. And you can find out more the other podcasts we have. We have several story podcasts going on. Public Enemy Zero, Martian Emperor is going to be coming out soon. All that and more you'll find out by signing up for my email list and paying attention to all the news on AndrewMainBooks.com. Until next time, I'm Andrew Main.